Most of you probably know where you are, right? You're in Huguenot, New York. Short history lesson. The Huguenots were the Protestants in France. We learned about Protestants, right? For what? So it's kind of cool. So we are in Huguenot, and we're for witnessing, right? No one's against witnessing, right? Okay, good. All right. Turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We're going to look at healing. You have to look at it two ways tonight. Look at it in the sense of you as a person who needs a healing, you're claiming your healing, and you as a person ministering the healing, walking as Jesus walked, right? We can do that. We've got Christ in us. We've got all nine manifestations. So each record we look at it in that way. Look at it as you, the person needing the healing, and you, the person who's ministering the healing, because we can do it. I better get there. Acts chapter 3, and we'll start in verse 1. As soon as I get there. Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Now, speaking of now, that's a very important thing, right? We've seen it earlier, but if you flip to, we'll be right back, so if you want to put something there, go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John 3, verse 2. And the first word is beloved. That's kind of nice, right? We're beloved of God. God thinks we're so good. He loves us, right? You can never, never doubt that. You can never doubt that God loves you. It's just so, so important. Beloved, now. Now in 5 minutes, what will it be?
Now.
How about 20 minutes?
Now.
That's good. You guys are good. How about tomorrow? At 3 a.m.
Now.
You guys are good. Okay, we'll stop. No. Now what? Now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So it's a great verse because it says, right now, you're a son of God, and guess what? Christ is going to come back, right? So we have that kind of now vision at the same point. We're always looking to the future because someday Christ is going to come back. Now, that someday could be, that someday is going to always be now, right? Whenever that now comes, he'll be back. So that's pretty exciting. So you have to keep that in mind no matter where you are, what you're doing, that you are God's kid. I know Dr. World talked about, if we think about, we've got all this power, we've got all this responsibility, but at the same time, we're just a little child, we're a little kid. We're God's kid. It's really his business we're about. We always have to remember, we're not such big shots. We're God's kids. We're just children. Okay, back to Acts 3. And verse 2, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifting him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, that's pretty exciting, right? Most of you, after hearing that, you probably feel like singing, right? Maybe a few of you feel like singing. Tim, this is your cue. Okay. Now, you have the words which you are going to sing. They are in verse 6, starting with the word silver. Now, I apologize for those of you who know the tune of this song, because we're changing the tune. We're changing it to a song, Happy Birthday. So, Tim, can you just give us a little intro and we'll see if people remember. Just kind of play a little Happy Birthday for us. Okay, good. That's very good. Yes, that clap. So what we're going to do is, I think it'll work out. So the first night would be, silver and gold have I none. And we'll go on, so we have to wait for the piano now. So everybody got the idea? And we'll stop after the word walk. Again, another intro, and then we'll get started. Okay. Intro, Tim. Silver and gold have I none, such as I have give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk, that kind of fit. Hey, thank you, thank you. Wait. You gotta blow a big kiss. Blow a big kiss. A big hand for Tim. All right. So you'll probably all forget that now, that song, but that's okay. The words are important. So go back to verse 6. It says, silver and gold have I none. So the first part you have to, have I none, but such as I have give I thee. There's the first point, such as I have. Well, do you have the power? Do you have the ability? Can you minister? Can you heal? Yes. So the first thing you have to recognize is such as I have. I have it. You have it. Second part would be, give I thee. And that comes in your willingness, right? Do you have that in your heart? Do you want to help people? Do you want to serve? Do you want to give? First part is, yes, the ability. Second part is the giving. And then the third part, which we heard, the most wonderful teaching we heard about, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So in that name was this man healed. So those three things, you have the ability, the willingness, and in the name of Jesus Christ, that's where the power comes in. And then go to verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John. Now, he's not holding him because he's worried about falling down, right? He's holding him because he's so excited, he's hugging him, right? Held Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though through by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? And then verse 16, and his name, through faith, in his name hath made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So here's where it's in that name of Jesus Christ that they used that name. They had the authority to use it. This man believed, right? He expected to receive. If you go back to verse 5, he gave heed unto them. He gave heed. He was expecting something. So first of all, if you expect to be healed, you have to believe, right? You have to give heed. You have to expect. You have to have your attention toward it. And then if you're the one ministering healing, you have to know you have the ability. You have to have that heart, that willingness, and in the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, now go to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're going to look at blind Bart. Mark chapter 10. And we're going to start in verse 43. The context here, Jesus Christ is dealing with a couple of his apostles, James and John. They're asking him for a certain place to sit in heaven, or basically, right? Where's my seat going to be? And then in verse 43, Jesus Christ says, but so shall it not be among you, But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. We have been given so much. We have so much to give. We have a lot to serve to this world, right? And here Jesus Christ is trying to tell his apostles, in that short amount of time he had, right, that your life will be a life of service. And then verse 46, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Basically, to shut up, right? But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Now, he stopped, right? He stopped. And commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Now they're being nice to him, right? Because they tell him to shut up once now. Oh, Jesus wants this. Okay, oh yeah, hey. Oh. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Basically, he's saying, what do you want? Now, he's a blind man, right? I know Joe has taught on this section of different sections about people who are blind. And Jesus Christ was not a magician, right? He asked him a question. This guy's blind. He knows he's blind. He's basically saying, what do you want? What do you want? And so it's not this heavy thing. Here's Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, saying, what do you want? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And then the word receive there would be regain his sight. So at some point he could have seen before, right? He would have seen. He wants to regain his sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith or thy believing hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want to read, this is, it's kind of small, this book, right? This is the Orientalism is the Bible, Volume 1, Bishop K.C. Pillai. And I'm going to read from page 66 and 67. So if you can turn in yours right now. 66 and 67. All right. All right. When the news reached Bartimaeus that all the commotion was a result of the passing of Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Of course, this proved to be somewhat of an embarrassment to those around him. And they told him to shut up. That's what he really said. Many would have been intimidated by such a rebuke, but not this man. So desperate was his situation, and so great was his faith that Jesus was a man, and now was the hour for deliverance. And he raised his voice even more. My heart thrills to know that above all the tumult, in the midst of a throng of the curious and on the journey, with yet miles to go, there was one sound that stopped the man of Galilee in his tracks, the sincere plea of a man with a need. Jesus called for him, and he cast away his robe, came to Jesus, and was wonderfully given his sight. The fact that he cast aside his robe is significant, for the robe was a status symbol. The type of robe a man wore was indicative of his position and prestige in the world. Bartimaeus was telling Jesus he was willing to lay aside pride, self-esteem, position, everything, if only he could receive his sight, to be delivered from the darkness was more important than anything else. I think that's a big example of people just being meek. Here was a guy who he wanted to be healed, right? He claimed his healing. You could say, well, why didn't Jesus, as he's walking by, why did this guy have to yell out? Why didn't he just walk right over there? I don't know. But this is what this man, he yelled out. I need help. Sometimes in life, you might just have to do that, right? It may be just you in your room talking to God. I need help, whatever it might be. Go to God. In this case, there was a man who had power, which was Jesus Christ. And it could be you walking down the street, right? Somebody may ask for help, and you could be there. So Again, when we read these records, look at each side of it. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. We're going to take a look at, I thought about our friend Saul, or Paul. Saul was his Hebrew name, right? And Paul is Greek. And Jerry covered this Sunday night in a great fashion, and we're going to look at Acts chapter 8. And I thought about a name for Saul. He'd be the terrible, treacherous, torturous man from Tarsus. How's that? So that's him. I mean, he was a bad guy. He was convinced of what he was doing was right, right? We got to agree that he was very convinced that what he was doing was the right thing. In Acts 8, after the death of Stephen, and then here's where the church starts sending people out. In verse 4, it says, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." Now we know that word scattered is from scattering seed. When you plant seed, you don't just go and run and throw it and hope it lands in the right place, and right? So if you plant seed, you plant it so that it'll produce fruit. You put it at the right depth, you add the right amount of water. So when these men were sent out from Jerusalem, they were sent out with a mission, with a plan. Like some of you have been sent out from here to places like Idaho or to Atlanta, to, not Camden, but where? Yeah, Cherry Hill, down there. A lot of the older people here have gone out, wow, right? You've been sent places, right, where there was a need, and you fulfilled it. So sometimes I think about that word scattered. It reminded me when I was a youth, we played baseball on a street, and I lived in a kind of narrow street, and of course there were houses and cars, and the pit ball would be pitched, crack of the bat, and all of a sudden, the crack of the glass in somebody's house. And we would scatter, right? We would just go. The problem was that what did we just lose? We lost the ball. And so somebody would always go knock on the door of that house. Now, the problem was, when we got the ball back, but guess what we had to pay? We had to pay for the soup and window. So we ended up paying a lot more money for the window, but we got the ball back. So. But that's what, when a lot of people think of scattered, right? You think of something happened, you just go in all directions. But in this case, no. They had a purpose. And here we have Philip in verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. That's the first thing. He preached Christ. He preached the word. If the word's not spoken, all the miracles, all those things, they're not worth anything. Without the word being the foundation, we're not going to see the miracles, right? We're not going to see the healings. Verse 6, "And the people with one accord gave heed." They paid attention unto those things which Philip spake, which was the word, "hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." I think about paying attention. I teach some middle school students, and I have learned, or I'm trying to learn, you can't say to even an adult, you can't say pay attention, right? Because right now if I said pay attention, some of you are paying attention maybe to that plant over there, or if there was a cobweb coming down, maybe you'd be paying attention to that. Or you may be paying attention to your stomach growling because you forgot to eat dinner. Right? There's a lot of things you can pay attention to. So just to say pay attention doesn't, or focus. Focus on what? Well, let's look here in verse 6. "With one accord they gave heed unto the things which he spake." So whenever you're in a fellowship, whenever you're just talking one-on-one, my job is to give heed unto what's being spoken, right? The word. That's what's important. There's a lot of things going on in this world. A lot of things can grab your attention. But our responsibility, our job, is to give heed unto the word. And look what happened. There was great joy. There wasn't that joy before, and there was joy afterwards. You think about in your fellowships, when you hear about somebody who gets healed, delivered, isn't that exciting? You know, you could spend the next 3 hours probably people sharing about deliverances and healings, and it'd be great. And keep sharing those stories because it does help us to believe. All righty, now go on to Acts chapter 9. Now we're going to jump all the way ahead to verse 17. We know, again, Jerry shared this record, and it's a great record about, what did I call this guy? The terrible, treacherous, torturous man from Tarsus versus a certain disciple. But God's going to win out, right? And let's go to verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled, we know, is pletho, right? Speaking in tongues is what he was able. Just like a couple of you did today. It's pretty exciting. Because you can know that you know that you know that you know once you speak in tongues, right? There's no more, you don't have to doubt. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. So we know between verse 3 and 17, he got born again, right? I know Dr. World talked about if you could do a physiological study on a person right before they were born again, and then right after. Wouldn't it be interesting to see what actually went on in that person's body? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll come back. But because you've been made alive, right? You've got a whole inner man. You've got from the tip of your head to the tip of your toes. You even have Christ behind your kneecaps. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, who is rich, he's pretty rich, right? Oh, in mercy. He's rich in everything, right? All the good things. For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead. Did you know you were dead? Right? Dead in sins, hath quickened us. He's made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. We've been made alive. And that amazing thing that happened when we were born again. You went from a person of body and soul to a body, soul, and spirit. And then verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called a circumcision, in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you, sometimes we're far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. This is written, now, Ephesians is written to the whom? The faithful in Christ, right? So it says for us to remember, to look back and remember at that you were one time dead, right? To think back and to think that what went on when you got born again, that healing that went on, that from darkness to light, from death to life. Think about when you share the word and somebody is born again, what goes on, what healing goes on in their life at that time. Let's go back to our friend. Now we can't call him the terrible guy, so we'll just call him Paul. How's that? And verse 19, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Now that verse, you could just read it and kind of move on with, but stop for a moment. Everybody stop for a moment. Go back. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples. That word with connotes companionship. Think about that. He started off on his way to Damascus with all intent of hauling people to jail and all the bad things you can think of. And at the end of that, he is sitting with them. He is with believers. He is fellowshipping with them. Think of the healing that went on in his heart. just to be with believers. Think about you guys here, the time you spend together to be with each other. How healing is that? How wonderful is that to be together? Here's a man that was, like I said, just intent on anything against, anything to do with Jesus Christ he would be against. Now he's sitting with believers and being blessed and being loved, and it's a cool thing. Okay, let's go to, turn the page. Go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. We're going to look a little bit at Jairus. That's my paper in there. Mark chapter 5. Now, this is a record where Jesus Christ is going to get interrupted, right? I think I remember Michael teaching on interruptions one time. Some of the greatest moments are when you get interrupted. But we're going to skip over the interruption, so let's see what happens. Mark chapter 5 and in verse 22. Okay, 5:22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue. Now stop there. Think about that. Here's a ruler of the synagogue. Important guy in that culture. Jairus by name. And when he saw him, Jesus, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. There's trouble, right? This is a major troubling time. And I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. What a statement, right? What a statement he just made. He says to Jesus Christ, lay thy hands on her, and that she may be healed, and she shall live. He's making a great statement of believing. So let's remember that. Now, Jesus argued with him, right? Discussed things with him. What did Jesus do? He went with him, right? So it wasn't, he just went with him. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now, here's where he gets interrupted with this woman wants to touch his hem or something, right? So this whole record where the woman, she's going to get healed, and we're going to go down to verse 34. And he said unto her, this is a woman that touches him, daughter, thy faith or thy believing hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, so while he was saying to this, here comes this other guy from Jairus' house. He says, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Soon as Jesus Christ heard these words, verse 36, immediately as Jesus heard the word, so here he is, he just healed this woman, right? Just go in peace. And then all of a sudden, he gets his news over here, the girl's dead. Now, for the sake of Jairus, what does he say? As soon as he heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Now, in the word, the only believe is basically, it means go on believing. Because was he believing before? Yeah. So he's basically saying, all right, I know you just heard this news, but be not afraid. Go on believing. Continue to believe. You are believing. And I think think about life when you may get a report from the hospital, or you may get this phone call, or something may interrupt your focus about believing. Be not afraid. Go on believing. That's the essence of it. Verse 37, and he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James, and John, the brother of James. And go on down to verse 41. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. So look what happened. This wonderful thing happened. This girl was raised from the dead. Again, put yourself in the position of, here, Jesus Christ had to kind of take care of the situation. The guy said, you say the word, she's going to be healed. He gets the news that she's dead. He tells him, be not afraid, only believe. And then he takes care of the situation when they get there with some of the people. But Again, what it's a great record. Go to Acts 14. Acts 14. We're going to take a look at Paul and Barnabas. We've heard some great word this week. It kind of fills you up, and you kind of wonder what to do with it all, but just let it sink in. Acts chapter 14, and here's where Paul and Barnabas had been in Iconium. They shared the word. People believe, but then Jews and Greeks stir them up, and stirred up the Jews and the Greeks, and so they moved on to Lystra. So go down to verse 8. And there sat a certain man lame at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Now, this is a little bit much here. Now, it says, okay, he's impotent in his feet. We get that. It means he can't walk, right? And then it says, being a cripple from his mother's womb, and then, who never had walked. I think we get the point, right? We get the point. And then verse 9, the same what? The same guy who's impotent, the same guy who's crippled, and all those things. So we get the point. This guy, he's not going to walk. He hasn't walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding. Now this is Paul steadfastly beholding him, right? And perceiving. Now does it say, I'll read the rest. Perceiving that he had faith or believing to be healed. Now does he say analyzed? Did he analyze? Did he look at the situation and get his believing thermometer temperature and check? Do you have a checklist of, let's see, how long has this guy been a cripple? All from his, okay, it's pretty long. Did he go through all these things? No, it said he perceived. So it's God and Christ at work in you. Let me read this to you. See if I can read it, because I probably, if some of you know this, you can say it with me. This is the definition for the manifestation of healing. The manifestation of gifts of healings is your operation of the God-given ability, whereby you may, in the name of Jesus Christ, by the manifestation of believing, bring to pass healing according to what God has revealed to you by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. So that's what went on. And it wasn't his analyzing, it wasn't magical, right? It's just, we all have that same spirit working within us. So when the situation came up, this man heard him speak. So first of all, he listened, he paid attention to the word. And then Paul looking at him, beholding, it's the same word that, remember in Acts chapter 1 when the apostles were looking up? What were they looking up at in Acts chapter 1? Jesus Christ. So that's the same word. And they were pretty much, wow. Look at. I think they were looking up with intent. That's the same word here used for Paul looking at this man. Verse 10, sorry. Said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. Now think about this too. Do you think that Paul knew about the record in Acts chapter 3? Even though I'm sure that was shared a lot about the lame man, right? That'd probably be one of, in the annals of healings that had been going on. Now, what did Peter do in that situation? Remember, he reached down and pulled him up, right? So in this case, so it's, again, you don't go through a checklist of what was done before, what should be done. It's just what's, you'll know what to do, right? I'm talking to myself, too. I know that. You'll know what to do. Because here he just says, stand upright on thy feet. And the guy leaped up and he walked. Now, that's pretty amazing. So we have another man that's healed. Now, the next several verses, there's a lot that went on after that. We're going to jump all the way down to verse 19. Let's see. Yeah, go to verse 19. And there came thither. How often do you say that word? I don't think I've said that other than this record. Thither. certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. Now, Antioch is, if you go back to chapter 13, that's where they had been preaching the word. It's a little ways away. Iconium is more, a little closer, 20 or so. But people from there came. That's where they had already preached the word. Who persuaded the people. Now this is, I mean, think about what words, the power of words, the power of what people can do. Persuaded the people and having, this is such, it's almost so casual. Persuaded the people and having stoned Paul, right? Having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, the word supposing is concluded. They concluded, they made a conclusion, they reckoned he was dead. Now, howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. I'm not sure what happened in that circle, but I know the believers, did they run away? Were they afraid? They hung in there, right? They were there. But that word that's for stood around is the word kukloo. I think I said it right. And it's used in the word a few different times. It means encircle. Let me read you a record. Go to John chapter 10. So we're going to take a quick look at that word. John chapter 10. And verse 20. So this is after the record of Jesus Christ healing the blind man. John 10, verse 20. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, it was winter, and the Jews walked in the temple into Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him. Basically, they encircled him. So picture Jesus Christ and picture these guys. He's in the middle of a circle of these guys. How long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And then go down to verse 37. So he continued. If you read through the Gospels, Jesus Christ, I know at times he got upset and angry a few times, but he had patience too. Think about, and I don't know specifically, but some of these guys could have showed up on the day of Pentecost, right? These guys he's talking to, some of them could have been the people who got born again. Verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. And verse 39, therefore they sought again to take him, and he escaped out of their hand. Take would be arrest. So the essence of this word is, it's a unified group of people. Usually it's in a circle to do a certain act. And now think about this. Was Jesus Christ in his resurrected body? But he got out, right? If you're in a situation where it doesn't look too good, will God get you out if you need to? Needs to? Yes. Okay. All right. And also, it's in Hebrews 11. We don't have to go there, but Hebrews 11, 30, the same words used where they encircled the walls of Jericho and they came down. Now back to where we were, back to Acts 14. Okay. And we're going to close with this last verse, and I'll share a little bit about it. In verse 20, howbeit as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city. Now, I think about being in fellowships that I'm in, being with people like you who pray. We've had a lot of situations, I know, in the past weeks, months, years. But it's such a It's so wonderful. I'm so thankful to be with people like you who pray, who are persistent with prayer, who don't give up. And the healing that comes about because we stand together in prayer, I don't know the specifics on this record other than that they were there. They didn't back down. They stayed in there. Paul got up. He'd been dead. He got up. You know people who've been very close to death here, right? And they got up because we prayed. We went to God with it. We stuck together. We persevered with it. God's a big God. God takes care of us. So, again, in your own personal life, go to God. Just pour your heart before God. Whatever healing, whatever you need, you go to him. You, as the person who have the confidence, know that you have the ability. Know that you can. You have the willingness. And in the name of Jesus Christ, it can be done, right? As Michael talked earlier, they have that reckless abandon just to go out and believe God for to take care of God's people, take care of each other. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.